Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
His mercy. Dear Lord, we come to you in this time of worship this morning, pouring out our praise to you. You pour out your streams of mercy so that we might praise you. And so we turn your mercy into praise, and we come here today to worship with each other through song and through word and through giving. And we ask that you be with us during this time of preaching, that Brother Cal opens the word and pours out the things that he has learned through you, and that he may teach us, his congregation. And so just be with us as we listen to the word, and be with us as we go into the world this week. It is in Jesus' most precious and holy name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. We are in the book of Ephesians. I think we started there when the stone was rolled away. And we may be here a little while longer. That's okay. What a great book the book of Ephesians is. And I want to talk to you this morning about being careful how you walk. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 17. Verses 11 through 17. And it is so important how a believer walks in this life. It is so important how we live our lives. It's huge. And seven times now in this great book to the church, it mentions this thing about walking. Our walk with the Lord. Let's take a look at it this morning. Y'all been standing, so if you'll honor God's word the best way you know how, you can stand, sit. Just make sure you honor God's word the best way you know. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Now listen to this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Your translation may say, reprove them, rebuke them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things, say all things, that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Can I get a witness? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Whew. Scott, Denny, ask God to bless the word, would you? Amen. Thank you, my brother. The main verse in this section of Paul's letter is there in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's the main verse in this section, in this passage of Scripture. Now, this is, like I said earlier, this is the seventh reference to walking that the Apostle Paul has given to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Way back there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the pattern of this world. And so ever since chapter 2, the Word of God has been talking about how we live the Christian life, how we walk. It is so important how we walk as believers in this dark world. And I ran across, this is, you know, some of these things that I'll tell you, these illustrations, these stories are true. Some are embellished, some are not, you know. But there was a Sunday school class that was studying the Ten Commandments. And they wound up on the last commandment, the tenth commandment. And it just kind of hit the Sunday school teacher that Lottie Moon's calling. Wound up just looking at her class and she said, "Has anyone memorized, put to memory the tenth commandment?" And little Susie raised her hand and stood up tall and said these words, "Thou shalt not take the cover off thy neighbor's wife." It is so important how we live. Amen? And the word circumspectly is taken from two Latin words. The word circum, which means around, and then the word spectrum, which means to talk or to look around. I'm sorry, to look around. And so the English word literally means to walk, looking around. The Greek word carries with it the idea of being precise, being careful. And so I want to talk to you about being careful how you walk in this world. You know, it is. That's great advice to be careful. I spent 20 years down in Wayne County. Diana and I got a picture from our neighbor that lived right across the field from us this past week. And my buddy Vic Barnett had walked out the patio door, the side door of the house there, and there's two steps, I think, comes down on the patio, and he was going out to his car. And then he got outside, and then he turned around. He had to go back inside to get something. And there, right beside that bottom step, was a huge copperhead snake. And his wife said, "You should have heard him scream." You'd better be real careful how you walk down in Wayne County. There are snakes everywhere. And we need to be careful how we walk in our community called Clarksville. And the best way to walk carefully in the Christian life is to make sure you're walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Well, you carefully walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Remember that old song, "Footprints of Jesus that make the..." Yeah. You can't get away. You know, you show your age every now and then. You just can't get away from these old songs. Amen? And so if you're walking in the light, you're walking carefully in the footsteps of Jesus. And then when this becomes a reality in your life, there, the result is at least threefold, according to what we're looking at here. There's Lottie Moon calling again. Y'all wanna, some of y'all are looking at me like a calf looks at the moon. Y'all don't know who Lottie Moon is? All right, okay. If you don't know who Lottie Moon, ask me, and I'll tell you. You just gave a $100 offering to her. First of all, your life will reprove the darkness. That's the first reality in our life. When you're walking in the light, your life will reprove, expose, rebuke the darkness. Isn't that what verse 11 says? "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, I'm going to turn left in my Bible and just read a couple of verses of Scripture to you in 2 Corinthians verse 6. 2 Corinthians verse 6 and verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship," there's that word, "has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" And so what's Paul saying there? Are we not to keep company with unbelievers? Can we not have fellowship with folks who are unchurched? No, of course not. That's not what he's saying. I mean, you look at who did Jesus hang out with every day? That's right. He was having fellowship with sinners. So that's obviously not what Paul's saying here in 2 Corinthians about being unequally yoked, about not having fellowship with lost folks. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 5, listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. What he's saying here is we have got to have relationships. We've got to be building relationships and have fellowship with lost folks, or else they're not ever going to come to Christ. Y'all with me? We've got to do that. What is he saying here? Well, the unfruitful works of darkness are, of course, those things that do not please God. And we as the people of God are not supposed to participate in those things. Let that sink in. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to walk in a way that pleases God, and we're to have nothing to do with this. We're not to be involved in the fellowship of unfruitful works of darkness. So, because he goes on to say that there in verse 11 of chapter 5 in Ephesians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, reprove them, rebuke them, and... excuse me, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. You understand what the Word of God is saying there? We are not to even talk about the works of darkness. They are not to even be on our lips. Isn't that an amazing truth from the Word of God this morning? And yet when you step out the front door, or maybe even at the house, you're bombarded with these works of darkness. One of the worst things that I think television has come up with are these nasty, vulgar, filthy talk shows. Now, back in the day, it was the Jerry Springer show. I don't know what it is now, but I mean, they would say or do anything on the Jerry Springer show. You remember that? And so, I mean... we wonder why families in America are going to hell. We need a return to decency and morality. Now, notice what happens here if you're walking carefully in the light. Notice this. Watch this. It says your life will reprove the darkness. The word reprove means to rebuke or to expose. Darkness has one great enemy. Do you know who it is? The light. That's right. And God has placed His light in at least three sources. The one source that God has placed His light in is, of course, His Son, our Savior. Do you remember when Jesus, well, we weren't there, but we've all read about it, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you remember that? And the Bible says that the Judean hillside was lit up by the Shekinah glory of God. There was light on the earth in the person of His Son, our Savior. And you see this happening, and when light shines, it exposes, it rebukes, it reproves darkness. And you see this over and over again in Jesus' life. Do you remember when Jesus told Simon Peter to cast out his net, and he brought in this huge, to let down his nets, and Simon Peter brought in this huge catch of fish, you remember that? And do you remember what Peter's response was when he saw all these fish in the net? He said, oh, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You see, light always exposes the darkness. Can I get a witness? And then you remember the woman, of course, that was caught in the act of adultery? And by the way, I've always wondered, where was the man? It takes two, right? And they were ready to stone her and condemn her. But you remember when Jesus showed up and His light began to shine, and He said, who among you is without sin? And one by, and then He sat down and scribbled in the dirt. And one by one, that lady's accusers left. Why? Because light exposes darkness. And so one of the greatest sources of light is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our Savior. And then secondly, God has placed His light in the Scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God reproves the darkness. The Scriptures over and over. I don't know how you are, but I'll be reading my Bible. And man, sometimes when you're reading your Bible, it's just like the light bulb comes on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you lie to me and say, yeah, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes you're in the Bible, in the Word of God, and all of a sudden, boom, God just turns the light on. And you see and you sense the Spirit of Almighty God. And you see the Son of God, and the Spirit of God begins to move in your life, and then the child of God just begins to move from one glory to the next. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the light is in the Word. And then the light is also not only in the Savior and the Scriptures, but it's in the saints. Hello? Did y'all see Charles light up? When he came in, y'all turned around and looked at him, and he just lit up like a Christmas tree. You see, the light is in the saints, right? And it is good for us to be together, amen? And so the light is, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. Hallelujah. The light is in us. So how do you reprove? How do you rebuke? How do you expose the darkness? Well, it's real easy. Just living your life for Christ Jesus. Just being the hands and feet of the Lord. Let your light shine for Jesus. In my devotional time, it's amazing how God puts Scripture in your life when you're getting ready to preach. And this morning, let me just share with you some Scripture over in Isaiah. Isaiah 58. This was in my devotional this morning. You mean, Pastor, you have a devotional on Sunday morning? Absolutely. Listen to what Isaiah 58, verse 7 says. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Now listen to this. Then your light, whose light? Your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and He'll say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking the wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The light of God is in you. It's in us. Somebody shout hallelujah. And as we shine for God's glory, all kinds of good things happen. But the best thing that happens is the darkness flees. It runs. So that's the first thing. If you're carefully walking in the light of the Lord Jesus, your life is going to reprove the darkness. Secondly, your life, now you're going to think strangely about this until we read it again, but your life will raise the dead. Your life will raise the dead. Look at verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. We just talked about that. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will do what? Give you light. Give you light. Now, light has resurrection. The light of Christ has resurrection power. Have y'all been raised from death unto life this morning? You see, light and life go together. Let me say that again. Light and life go together. Are y'all following? Are y'all tracking with me this morning? This is so good. I know. I've been in this all week, and y'all are just now hearing it and getting it. Although you shouldn't be, because you knew I was going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this week. Hello? All right. So we live in, what we're talking about here is you've got witnessing power. Because you've got the light of Christ, that resurrection power in your life, you've got witnessing power. We live in a community, and we're surrounded by a world of folks who are dead in trespasses and sins. Think about it. There's thousands of them right here in Montgomery County. There's millions of them in the United States. There's billions of them all over the world that are dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. And if we'll shine for Jesus, if we'll let His light so shine, then you know what God will do? They'll see the light in us. And they'll be drawn to the light. And then next thing you know, they're beginning to experience that light. And they move from death unto life. Light and life go together. What dead folks need is, don't you want to see dead folks raised from death unto life? How many of you have a dead, spiritually dead family member? Have mercy. Do you see how important the light is? That we shine for the Lord? Do you see how important it is that we walk carefully in this old dark world? Don't you want that family member to be raised from death unto life? Aren't you tired of living around dead folks? I want to see everyone and everything come to life. And so if you'll walk in the light as He is in the light, your life will raise the dead. Oh, that is so powerful. You know, you think about the Lord being the only one able to raise the dead. Well, He can raise the dead through you, the light that you shine. That's what I'm talking about. There's a third thing. Let me move on quickly. If you're walking carefully in the light of the Lord Jesus, if you're following in His footsteps, there's a third thing. Your life will redeem the days. Your life will redeem the days. Look at the scripture again with me. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you know the days are evil? We're calling good evil and we're calling evil good here in this country. Right? Now, all of us have the same amount of time. What a precious commodity time is. I mean, 60 seconds in 1 minute, 60 minutes in 1 hour, 24 hours in 1 day. I mean, 24/7, we've all got the same amount of time, and how precious our time is. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you would self-examine your life right now, how are you using the time that God has given you for His glory? Are you abusing the time that you have? Andrew and Derek and I met two Mondays ago, and we were talking about this very thing, about making the most of the time that God gives us. Now, I've probably got more days behind me than I've got ahead of me unless I live to be 125. And so I'm really urgent, and I'm really serious about making the most of the time that God has given me in my life. And I'm probably in the fourth quarter of my life. Some of y'all are in overtime. It's okay. That's all right. Amen, Martha. But I don't care what age you are. You need to be redeeming the time. The word redeem means to buy out of the marketplace. You know this word. I know you girls know this word. Let me say two words to you. Black Friday. That's what this word's talking about. About buying out, something would be for sale in the marketplace, and it needed to be bought up before somebody else snatched it up. That's where this word's coming from. Redeemed, redeeming something means to buy it back out of the market. Isn't that what Jesus did for us with His blood? And so I could go into 1,000 Peggy Lou Black Friday stories, couldn't we? People rushing out to the mall to get something before the deal, before somebody else gets it first, right? Well, that's the idea here. Redeeming the time, making the most. I'll tell you, I'm amazed how time flies. Diana, where are you? Right there. Can you believe we've got a daughter that's 35 years old? I'm talking about these two little ones. That's their mama. And I've already put the little one to sleep. All right. I can't believe I've got a daughter that's 35. I've got another one that's 32. You've got one that's right. Time just keeps slipping away, doesn't it? But we're to make the very most of the time that God has given us. And I've said all that to say this morning. Man, right now is the time to do what God's calling you to do. You got a family member that's lost? Share the gospel with them now. You got somebody you've been trying to invite to church, to come to church with you? Do it now. You know somebody in your neighborhood that needs help? Do it now. You got a child in your neighborhood or maybe in your family that needs to be encouraged? Do it now. You got a gift that needs to be used of the Lord? Do it now. Right now is the time to redeem the time. You got a gift that you've been meaning to give to the church? Do it now. Don't wait. Do it right now. Is there somebody you've been meaning to witness to? Man, do it now. Take advantage of the opportunity that God's given to you right now. Well, why? Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You've just heard what God's will is, to walk carefully in this world in such a way that your light shines for the glory of God each and every day, making the most out of your time. How are you walking? What's your walk look like today? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you would really be honest with the Lord today? Not me. Not honest with me. Honest with the Lord. And say, I'm walking in a way that pleases God. I'm not perfect. But it is my heart's desire to walk in a way that others can see Jesus in me. And I want my life to attract and draw others to Christ. Friend, if your answer is not yes, can I just tell you lovingly, you need revival right now if you're saved. If you're saved, you need for God to revive your spirit. Right there where you sit, you need to ask God to do a work in your life. Repent of your sin, turn from it, receive God's forgiveness, and begin walking in the light. And the bigger issue is, are you in the light? Do you have the light of Christ in your life? Listen, friend, if you'd come forward today, I'll get you pointed to Christ, I promise you. And we'll share with you how you can leave here walking in the light. But you've got to come. Father, I pray your blessings on this time of response and invitation. Oh God, do what only you can do. Help us to respond in obedience. darkness to the light. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.